The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of January 29th through Sunday, February 4th, 2024. The commentary for January was written by Atlanta-based author and speaker Beth Sarah Wright. Her book, Dignity, was the 2023 Book of the Year by the National Association of Episcopal Schools. And the commentary for February was written by Julia Ayala Harris, who serves as the president of the House of Deputies, the first Latina and women of color elected to the position. She is passionate about issues of immigration, race and ethnicity, truth-telling, LGBTQ plus inclusion, and justice initiatives. She and her husband, John Harris, live with their daughter in Norman, Oklahoma. The commentary for Monday, January 29th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Here's the commentary. Did you know the Latin root of the word respect is specere, or to look at? Respect literally means to look again. Noah looked at God's warning of events as yet unseen. He was able to look again and see something real and meaningful and compelling. And then he acted. He respected God's words. Isn't that part of our invitation in faith, to look again at what we think we see and see something new, something powerful, something completely different, and then to act and partner with God? If we look again, we can weave into our sight new hope, dignity, and faith, a new way of seeing. Think of it as putting on God goggles. Imagine what we can see and then do with God when we strive to look at the world, our lives, and others through the lens of God goggles. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The moving forward statement for this Monday, January 29th, is forget the rose-colored glasses. Slip on some God goggles. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 30th. It begins with a passage also from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son. They say parents are only as happy as their unhappiest child. I don't know how true that is, but I do know that I must draw on my faith in God when my children are unhappy. I cannot protect my children from going through hard times. I cannot take away their depression or uncertainty or anger or hurt. I cannot save them when they encounter rough waters, even though I desperately yearn to and would do anything to spare them such pain. But by faith, I know God is with them always. By faith, I know God will provide. By faith, I pray God will open their eyes to see God's dream for them. By faith, I can rejoice and bless God for all of God's wonderful reversals. And by faith, I pray that my children, too, will know and rely on this faith for themselves and their children. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture today of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 22. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future of Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, January 30th, Lent is just a couple of weeks away. How can you prepare your heart and mind by faith? Now let's turn to the commentary for the last day of January, Wednesday, January 31st. It begins with a passage from the Psalm chapter 72, verse 1. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice. Psalm 72 is an earnest prayer for a leader. The leadership blueprint is clear. Lead with God's justice. Defend the needy among the people. Rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. The righteous shall flourish, and there shall be an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Enemies and foes will bow down. Deliver the poor who cries out in distress, and the oppressed who has no helper. Their lives will be redeemed from oppression and violence. And nature, the mountains, the hills, the abundance of grain and elements of gold shall bring prosperity to the people. This is God-shaped justice. What does justice look like where we are today? How can we, in all that we do, wherever we are, lead and live with this God-shaped justice? And now I'm going to read from the entire Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, until the moon is no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor, and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. And the moving forward suggestion for this day, having just heard the entire Psalm 72, try reading it again yourself, and think about how you can incorporate its words into your life. Now the commentary for Thursday, February 1st, it begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2a. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Here's the commentary. This passage reminds me of living in South Sudan. In my time there, and through my husband's ongoing work, says the writer, I got to know the women in South Sudan and then the refugees in northern Uganda who are South Sudanese. These women spent decades caught in wars, and they would tell stories of battles happening around them, fleeing with their children to seek protection and searching for food and shelter. Despite all this, these women found hope in their faith during their days of strife. They knew that Jesus and Mary were watching over them, walking with them. This faith still drives them today. In my faith journey, I have gone from questioning God about allowing these atrocities to happen to living in solidarity with the women, to living into moments of joy and happiness with them. They are my friends and family. They are part of the great cloud of witnesses on earth and in heaven. And now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32, through chapter 12, verse 2. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, February 1st, is give thanks for those who are in your cloud of witnesses. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, February 2nd, the day we celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 36a. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. I love the prophet Anna. This scripture captures one of those glorious moments in the Bible when a woman is honored. Our imaginations must fill in the blanks for how much of her biography, but considering this is a woman in the Bible, we are given several important details. We know Anna's tribe, that she is a woman of great faith, who lives in the temple, that she is a widow, and that she is a prophet. Verse 38 says, "It was Anna who began to praise God and speak about the child to all of those looking for redemption." This feels like a foreshadowing of Mary Magdalene, a woman, dare we say, apostle, who names the Savior, names the Messiah, names the birth. Women surround Jesus and proclaim him throughout his life, witnesses to him even before his birth and through his resurrection. And now I'm going to read the full passage for today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then, as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer day and night. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And the moving forward suggestion for this Friday: call or write a letter to an important woman in your life. The commentary for Saturday, February 3rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 16. "Then Jesus answered them, 'My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me.'" The crowd in this passage sounds so much like Americans today, at least the adults. We require decrees and credentials in order to trust a source. Teenagers, however, don't have the same requirements, perhaps because they don't yet have higher formal education. They are more open to different kinds of teachings. Teenagers are authentic to themselves, which allows them to be close to how the Spirit is moving and what the Spirit is asking of us. And they can sniff out hypocrisy in seconds. So much wisdom comes out of our teens and our youth groups. These passages challenge us to listen to people who do not typically have voices in our church, especially as we strive to figure out what our church will look like in the future. Teenagers so close to the Holy Spirit will show us the way. And now I'm going to read from the passage of John chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. "About the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at it, saying, 'How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught?' Then Jesus answered them, 'My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you looking for an opportunity to kill me?' The crowd answered, 'You have a demon. Who is trying to kill you?' Jesus answered them, 'I performed one work, and all of you are astonished. Moses gave you circumcision. It is, of course, not from Moses, but from the patriarchs, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, in order that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I healed a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment.'" And the moving forward suggestion for this day is to consider volunteering for a youth group activity. Open your mind to what you might learn. Now, as we near the end of our program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, February 4th, the fifth Sunday of Epiphany. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. This passage in the Gospel of Mark always leaves me with more questions than answers. Why did Jesus and the disciples go to the house of Andrew? Did they go because Simon's mother-in-law was sick? Did Jesus go there intending to heal her? And if so, why? Was it so the disciples could be witnesses to the healing? Unlike other people Jesus heals, we know nothing about the inner thoughts or motivations of the mother-in-law. Was she healed by her faith? Why does she immediately get up and begin to serve? Clearly, Simon is fond of his mother-in-law, although his wife, the daughter of the healed woman, is never mentioned. Like much in the sparse and rampant Gospel of Mark, I am left wishing for more. Despite this longing, there is something holy about wrestling with the Scriptures. My active engagement with the text draws me closer to Jesus, who walked the earth teaching, healing, and feeding his people. And now I'm going to read several passages here from Mark chapter 1, verses 30. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, does wrestling with Scripture bring you closer to God or cause you discomfort? Think about this and reflect on your answer. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for today's program. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.